Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That was a great gospel lesson in light of something I'm going to share. Those of you who've been coming around for a while, I've been sharing a good bit of this, especially on Wednesdays, but I want to take it a little bit farther and make it more specific and more practical. I think the most prevalent issue for every Christian isn't how much God uses them, or how much they do for the kingdom, how many people get healed, their ministry, all those kind of things. I think in terms of practical living, apart from loving him with all your heart, the most relevant issue is whether or not you're living in victory over sin on a daily basis. Because that, in the end, is the source of all human misery. Your brokenness and misery and depression or anxiety or fears isn't because of what's going on around you. It's because of what's conquering inside of you. And if Christ is conquering inside, you're walking in freedom. If sin is conquering, then you're walking, thank you, Luke, in anything but freedom. And therefore, sin is the cause of depression and fear and anxiety and all those things. And so having victory over that, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We always quote that verse in light of the ministry of signs and wonders. But let me just read it to you again. 1 John 3. It says, "And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Now the one who abides in him sins, and no one who abides in him lives a constant life of sin. And no one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, and for the devil is sin from the beginning. The God who appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil." We always quote that verse about signs and wonders ministry, but what's he talking about here? Destroy the works of the devil in terms of sin controlling our life. That's the first thing Jesus came to do. So let me read this to you again. You've heard me say these things. Hear it again with fresh ears. I'll read the verses, but let me just, without reading the verses, say this to you. That when Jesus died on the cross, this is why you have to have the faith of a little child. So put on a little child's faith, who's believing when you hear something, but it may not make any sense whatsoever to the adults, but you as a child, you just believe anything. And I read you the scripture to tell you it's not coming from Chuck, it's what the word says. And the word says this, that somehow, some way, that you or every person was potentially in Christ when he went to the cross. Those who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's now theirs in reality. It's true about you. That's now your history. When Adam sinned, you were in Adam. When Jesus sinned, when Jesus died on the cross, you were with Jesus. And the moment you become his, that becomes true about you. Not just held in reserve for you, but now put into your account. And so when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't just die for the sins of the world. He died for your sins in particular. So he died for you, for your sins. And he did that, satisfying God's justice, even though Jesus was sinless. Jesus took you in his person to the place of execution. And the scripture says that you died, the person you used to be, the guilty sinner, and the one controlled by the power of sin, died in the person of Jesus on the cross. So Jesus didn't just die for you. He took responsibility for your sin as if you died on that cross. You paid for your sin in the person of Jesus. That's what substitutionary atonement is all about. And so you were condemned for your sins, all of your sins, past, present, and future, in the person of Jesus at the execution. That's why God will never condemn. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He may correct you, he may rebuke you, but he's never going to condemn you for your sins because that's already happened in the person of Jesus. So Jesus didn't just die for your sins. Jesus died as you for your sins. Now, I want you to hear this because it's really important. He didn't just die for the sins of the world. He died for your particular brand of sin. He took on that struggle you have with fear. And the way it feels to you and as strong as it is to you, that struggle you have with anger, or that struggle you might have with addiction, or you might have with lust, or you might have with pride, unforgiveness. He died for that particular sin, your unique sin. You hear me? But the scripture says in Romans 6, I'll read it to you in a minute, he didn't just die for that sin. Now hear me. This is a game changer. It'll change your life. We've also said, and it says this in Romans 6, that he died to sin. Not just for sin, but to sin. When Jesus died for your brand, Joe's struggle with that particular kind of anger Joe struggles with, Joe's struggle with anger and how it feels and the level that it has and the kind of control, he died as Joe for that crime, but he also died to Joe's particular brand of anger. He didn't just die to anger, he died to your anger. You with me? He died to your anger. You see, you were in his person, and so if it was really you dying on that cross, you died for your sin, and you died to that sin that used to control you. And you were raised up somebody totally new, but having died to that sin, which now doesn't have control over you. Let me read these verses. This is Romans chapter 6. Knowing that our own self, verse 6, was crucified with him, that our bodies should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin, died to sin, not for sin, died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, now hear this, everybody pay attention. Even so, consider yourself. You see, the death that he died to sin once for all. The life he lives to God. Even so, why even so? You too, because you died in him. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but living to God. That's the way it should be translated. But living to God in Christ Jesus. So, think about the one sin you struggle with the most. How it feels, how strong it is, how much control it's had over your life. Jesus died for that sin. You died in Jesus for that sin, in his person. Jesus died to that particular sin that you struggle with. He has total victory over that sin. Let's just say the anger. He died to your anger. He has victory. He accomplished victory over that particular brand of anger, your unique personality brand of anger. Well, you know what? Because you were in him, his victory over that sin is your victory over that sin. He didn't just die to generic anger. Let's make it personal. He died to your anger. You were on that cross with him. So no matter how much that anger has been there, how strong it is, that's the one he died to. But the life that he lives now, he lives to God. Therefore, even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, because his victory over that sin is your victory over that sin, because you died in him. You rose from the grave with him. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but because you died in him and rose with him, consider yourselves living to God. Why? Because you're in Christ. In Christ you died to that sin. In Christ you rose living to God. The life that he lives to God. Jesus died as you. He lives in you to live through you. Therefore, his victory over that sin, and then lived out every day, name again in your own heart the sin you struggled with the most. You died to that sin in the person of Jesus. His victory over that sin is your victory over that particular sin. Now, all the other sins too, but that particular, that bad guy that just keeps kicking you. You died in his person. His victory, which is clear over that sin, is your victory. It's already done. And his living to God thing is now in you. You're now living to God in Jesus. He's your victory. Amen?
Amen.
Go back and read Romans 6. If God can teach you this, you can start walking in a level of freedom you've never known before. Because you're not fighting for victory. You're standing in a victory Jesus already won on the cross for you and for me. We need to stop asking him to set us free from that sin. He set you free from that sin when he died. He died to it. You are in him, therefore his death to that is your death to that. His life to God is now your life to God because he lives in you, because you're in him.